This morning, after spending the last two Sundays looking at what the Bible has to say about wisdom and being wise, we want to kind of flip the script a little bit and spend some time looking at the life and times of a fool. Now, on the back of the bulletin, I left a little bit of room for you there that you might at some point be able to jot down at least the main points that we're going to discuss. But we're going to look at about seven main ideas, all from the book of Proverbs about a fool, and obviously we'll not spend much time on any one of these, but hopefully it will be helpful to you as you study this in a little more detail for the future. But the English word fool and the English word folly, which are related to one another, the English word fool and the English word folly come from a Latin word, phallus. And the word phallus means bellows. And this is a set of bellows that I have. You may recognize that this is what you sit in front of the fire and you pump it and you blow the air to stoke up the coals to get the fire. But basically a set of bellows is something that's what? Full of air. And the English word fool, which comes from the Latin word phallus, means someone just full of air. There's no substance there. We talk about a person being, a wind bag. This is a little wind bag. And this is what a fool is. Just a wind bag. No real substance there. The Latin word also has a connotation with it, or a meaning as well, of puffed up cheeks. And you see how you put the air in your cheeks and you puff them up and then you get the bellows from that and so on. So the fool is one who's puffed up. But puffed up with what? Not anything of substance. Not anything substantial. But puffed up simply with air, with himself. There are actually three different Hebrew terms used in the book of Proverbs by the author to describe a fool. And from Warren Wiersbe's commentary on the book of Proverbs, let me share with you just a paragraph that quickly defines those three words. Three Hebrew words that are translated in English as fool. The first word is kessel. It means the dull, stupid fool who is stubborn. The second word is, and I'm sure I'm not pronouncing these properly, but it's iwala. It is the corrupt fool who is morally perverted and unreasonable. We don't have to know the Hebrew words. The definitions are sufficient. But the first one is the dull, stupid, stubborn fool. The second one is the morally perverted, unreasonable fool. The third one is a term that you might be a little interested in because it's pronounced Nabal. And that means the fool who is like a stubborn animal. The brutish fool, the brute. And perhaps because I say that Hebrew word Nabal, you might remember a man in 1 Samuel 25 whose name is Nabal, with a capital N. And when you read about Nabal, he was the first husband of Abigail before David took her as his wife upon Nabal's death. You may read in that particular text that even his employees say, is not his conduct reflective of his name? Isn't his name very appropriate for how he behaves and acts? Because he's stubborn. He's a brute. He's like an animal or a mule known for brutish behavior and stubbornness. Nabal. Well, those three terms, all with a little different shade of meaning, are used throughout the book of Proverbs to define the fool. And they're all pretty much translated by the one English word, fool, for our sake as we read the Bible in English. And we'll not make a distinction, really, between these terms as we look at seven characteristics of a fool today. Seven ways we can think about a fool, or seven descriptions of a fool. We'll not really make the distinction between them because, and I like the way Mr. Wiersbe words this in his commentary, He says, after all, a fool is a fool no matter what you call him. And really, that's what it boils down to. And when we look at the book of Proverbs, we're going to see some descriptions, some characteristics of people who are fools no matter what you call them. Number one, and then again, if you want to use the back page of the bulletin to look at this, number one, fools cannot learn from the Word of God. Now, notice I did not say that fools cannot learn the Word of God, but the emphasis here, the meaning has changed dramatically when we say that fools cannot learn from the Word of God. They may be aware of it. They may can quote it even, have a lot of it memorized, but they can't learn from it. They don't know how to apply it. You see, the problem with the fool, and the way that it's defined biblically, even with the three different words, the problem with the fool is not his brain. It's not a lack of intelligence. You remember last week we said that wisdom and IQ are not the same thing? Same thing here. Being a fool and IQ are not the same thing. A person who biblically is described as a fool may be highly, highly off the chart intelligent. But it's not about IQ. It's not about brain power. It's about the heart. And the real problem with the person who's defined as a fool, no matter which the term you're using, is his heart. And that's why the fool cannot learn from the Word of God. Or he might can read it, memorize it, quote it, but he can't learn anything from it, nor how to apply it. He's one who seems to enjoy being a fool. And the expression sometimes is that ignorance is bliss. In this case, it's not so much ignorance as it is an awareness that he isn't where he needs to be, but he doesn't care. Therefore, it is a blissful state of mind to him. In fact, the book of Proverbs, chapter 15, verse 21. Proverbs 15, 21 says, folly is joy. Folly is joy to him who is destitute of discernment. Folly is joy to him who is destitute of discernment, which leads us back to the definition, one of the definitions of wisdom and foolishness in chapter 1, verse 7. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning, the controlling principle of knowledge, also wisdom. But listen, fools despise wisdom and instruction. So the fool cannot learn from the Word of God because he cannot stay focused on the Word of God. He doesn't learn wisdom because he won't stay focused and stay geared in on that controlling principle of reverencing God to gain the wisdom and discernment and instruction that he needs. So number one, fools cannot learn from the Word of God. Number two, fools cannot control their own words. It's, you know, one thing that they cannot learn from the Word of God, but now Proverbs also focuses on the fact that fools cannot even control their own words. And as we look at these characteristics and descriptions here about fools, they are in no particular order of significance or importance. They're just randomly kind of selected and pulled together. But they all stand together to create a definition, a description of the life and times and characteristics of someone who is a fool. Well, secondly, we see that he cannot control his own words. He cannot control his own speech. Proverbs 15, verse 2. Proverbs 15, verse 2. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly, but the mouth of fools pours forth foolishness. The mouth of fools pours forth foolishness. You see, it is, as we talked a moment ago about being puffed up, it is a proud, know-it-all, listen to me because I'm always right, kind of talk, usage of words. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15 says, the way of the fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel
counsel is wise. You see, you can't tell a fool anything because he already thinks and believes that he knows everything. And so it's very difficult to get anywhere with someone with that kind of mindset. And he cannot control his own words. And so you can't have any kind of reasonable discussion with him about real wisdom, real instruction, real learning, real knowing, because he already thinks he knows it all. And so because of that, you see that in his words, and how he lives, and how he talks, and how he is so condescending very often to everyone else, and how he is so unkind to everyone else, and how he speaks of everyone else who apparently doesn't know anything and ought to listen to him because he knows it all. The book of Proverbs in chapter 10, verse 8, uses an interesting word. Proverbs 10, verse 8 says, "The wise in heart shall receive commandments, but the prating fool," P-R-A-T-I-N-G, "the prating, a prating fool shall fall." That word that's translated as prating means to babble and talk excessively, and it's related to another English word called prattle, which sounds a lot like rattle, which is what some people do. You know, if we put a little rattle in here, this is how some people sound. Over and over and over and over. Because they can't control their own words, and they go on and on and on and on and on and on. The prattle of the prating fool. The one who cannot control his words. Characteristic number 3. Fools cannot control their temper. Fools cannot control their temper. Chapter 12, book of Proverbs, chapter 12, verse 16. A fool's wrath is known at once, but a prudent man covers his shame. Chapter 14, verse 29. Chapter 14, verse 29. He who is slow to wrath has great understanding, but he who is impulsive exalts folly. You see, the fool cannot control his own temper. Part of that's because he doesn't learn from the Word of God. He can't control his own words, and both of those indicate he doesn't listen, and because he doesn't listen, he finds himself getting angry at people a lot, and very quickly, because he's not listening. He hasn't listened to God's Word, and he hasn't even listened to himself, and he won't listen to anyone else. And so temper flares, and temper grows very quickly. Also from the book of Proverbs, under this third idea about not being able to control the temper, chapter 27, verse 3, chapter 27, verse 3, you don't want to get a fool angry at you. A stone is heavy, 27, verse 3, a stone is heavy and the sand weighty, but a fool's wrath is heavier than them both. You see, fools just, you know, go Mount Vesuvius on you all of a sudden. They just erupt in hatred and prattle. And sometimes you have to have the wisdom to know whether you respond to that or you don't. Most of the time it's best just to let them vent and then conveniently leave. But sometimes you have to respond. And there's a passage in Proverbs, chapter 26, that almost seems to contradict itself, but really what we're about to read in Proverbs 26 is telling us that sometimes we, as wise people, have to have discernment and knowledge and understanding to know how to respond to those who can't control their own temper. Proverbs 26, verse 4 and 5. Proverbs 26, verse 4 and 5 say this, "Do not answer a man according to his folly, or you will be like him yourself." And then the very next sentence says, "Answer a fool according to his folly, or he will be wise in his own eyes. You know, sometimes fools, they just deserve no attention to be paid to them. Just turn a deaf ear to them. But sometimes what they say needs to be addressed. Whether they will listen or not, at least for the sake of other people who might be listening. And it takes wisdom to know which response is the right one from circumstance to circumstance. But the main thing to keep in mind is that fools really cannot control their temper. And it comes out on what they say and how they behave. Number four, fools are proud and too self-confident. There's nothing wrong with having self-confidence. But there comes a point to where you have too much self-confidence. And you become arrogant and full of pride. And so the fourth idea about the life and times of a fool is that they are proud and they are overly self-confident. They are just too self-confident. Again, from chapter 28, Proverbs 28, verse 26, he who trusts in his own heart is a fool, but whoever walks wisely will be delivered. Proverbs 26, verse 12, do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than him. You see, you take it even a step further beyond being a fool. You see a man who is wise, well, that sounds good, but then what does it say? In his own eyes, of his own opinion. Too much self-confidence, too much about me, and I know everything. There's more hope even for the fool than there is for that man. And so, as you look at that particular text, you have to understand that sometimes, while we need to be confident, and I think the Lord expects us, through our salvation in Him, to have that measure of self-confidence and how we approach life, don't get carried away with it. Don't become so enamored with yourself and so confident in yourself and so convicted about all that you know and believe and think that you know everything that no one could doubt you or debate you and weep. That you know it all. You know, there's a poem by William Ernest Henley called Invictus. And there's a philosophy expressed in that poem where one line reads, I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul. I understand that God has given us leeway in the choices we make about life. But are we really the master, the captain? You read that, and it reminds you a whole lot of what Satan said to Eve when he said, if you eat this, you'll be like God. That was foolish. Very, very foolish. And you see, fools, as they are described in the Bible, are too proud, too self-confident, and don't want to listen to you or me, or much less the Word of God. Number five. Fools create sorrow and problems. Here's a little tagline. Especially to their parents. Fools create sorrow and problems, but especially to their parents. You know, the book of Proverbs is a book written by a father to his son. You especially, in the first 9 chapters of Proverbs, you read that phrase over and over, my son, my child. If you will listen to this, then good things will happen. If you'll believe this, then here's the positive consequences that your benefits you'll reap. If you'll understand this and you have knowledge and wisdom and discernment and you'll gain what I'm trying to teach you, then good things are in line here. But the book of Proverbs also has some other information in it that's very opposite of that. And that's addressed to the fool who didn't listen
to the wise things that he was being taught. And consequently, he's made a disaster of his life, and he's brought a lot of sorrow to the ones who love him the most. In fact, there are several passages. Here are just a few. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 1. Proverbs 10, verse 1. A wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is a grief to his mother. Proverbs 27, verse 11. Every godly father has said to his son, what you read in Proverbs 27, 11, be wise, my son, and bring joy to my heart. But think how many people we read about in the Bible who were told that by parents and didn't heed it. Cain grieved his parents tremendously out of jealousy and anger and foolish behavior when he killed his brother. Esau grieved his parents when he married pagan women that brought sorrow and sadness to the hearts of his family. Jacob's sons grieved their father for a period of years and years because of their foolish behavior and lying to their father about what happened to Joseph. And those are just three examples of many more we could use of how fools create problems and cause trouble, but especially to the parents. So don't grow up to be a fool. Listen to the wise counsel of parents who are guided by the wise counsel of God. Number six, fools don't know how to manage money and resources. Fools don't know how to manage their money and their resources. Proverbs 21, verse 20. Proverbs 21, verse 20. In the house of the wise are stores of choice food and oil, but a foolish man devours all that he has. There's a principle that's stated there that fools don't know how to manage their resources. They don't know how to manage their money. They, you know, the old expression, a fool and his money are soon parted. I guess that's why I don't have much money. But at any rate, we have to understand that fools don't know how to manage what they've been blessed with. Fools don't know how to manage what they've been given by God. Fools, though, often, they know the price of everything, but they know the value of nothing. And that really doesn't help you to be a good steward, to be a responsible person. And the Bible tells us that fools simply don't have that quality, that characteristic. You may recall in that parable that Jesus tells in Luke 15 about the prodigal son, that as soon as he got his money, I mean, the next day, he was gone. And he spent it all because he acted foolishly. He was fool. And you see what happened to all that he had. He lost it. It wasn't because somebody stole it from him or he got cheated. He himself lost it. So fools, they don't know how to do that. They don't know how to manage their resources and their blessings and their physical possessions and money. Number seven, and finally this morning, fools, kind of builds on this, the one that we just talked about, they cannot be trusted with responsibility. You might could just start with they cannot be trusted. As we make a specific application, they cannot be trusted with responsibility. Here's something interesting in Proverbs 26, verse 1. Proverbs 26, verse 1 says, as snow in the summer, which we've been still having our share of, this is the last official day of summer, but as snow in summer and rain in harvest, so honor is not fitting for a fool. The word honor in the original language of the book of Proverbs means heavy or weighted. It can refer to the glory that God has given and the respect that God has for his own people,
But the fool doesn't take that on himself. And he doesn't acknowledge the great respect that God has for him and the responsibilities that God has given for him. And so he doesn't honor God and he doesn't honor others. Therefore, he can't be trusted. And he's an irresponsible person. In Proverbs 26, verses 6 through 12, there's an elaboration on this idea of how fools just simply cannot be trusted, and they can't be trusted with responsibility. Proverbs chapter 26, beginning at verse 6, here are Proverbs 26, beginning at verse 6, is kind of an elaboration on here's what happens if you trust the fool. Here are the consequences that you and I may reap if we trust the fool, if we trust one of these people the Bible calls a fool. Proverbs 26, verse 6, he who sends a message by the hand of a fool cuts off his own feet and drinks violence. Like the legs of the lame that hang limp is a proverb in the mouth of fools. Like one who binds a stone in a sling is he who gives honor to a fool. You know, why would you put a stone in a sling and then tie it together so that you couldn't throw it? Verse 9, like a thorn that goes into the hand of a drunkard is the proverb in the mouth of a fool. It's painful and cutting and doesn't help. The great God who formed everything gives the fool his hire and the transgressor his wages. As a dog returns to his own vomit, so a fool repeats his folly. Do you see a man, as we read earlier, wise in his own eyes? There's more hope for a fool than for him. He's excelled, you might say, even being a fool. And fools simply cannot be trusted with any measure of responsibility. Really, fools cannot be trusted. Now, as we pull those seven descriptions together, and when we think about the life and times of a fool, and especially as we now launch off this seventh and final one about responsibility, we have to ask, what's the end result for the fool? What's going to happen to the fool? There's a passage there at the bottom of that back page, under those 7 points, that's a quotation from Luke 12, verse 20, where Jesus is telling a parable about the man who was blessed with so many things, and so he tore down his little barns and built bigger barns so he could store all his possessions in them. And then he said, so now I'm going to kick back and I'm going to relax, I'm going to eat, drink, be merry, because my life is set. And God said to him, fool, thou fool, this night your soul is required of you. So what's the end result of the fool? In Proverbs chapter 19, verse 3, the Bible says, a man's own folly ruins his life. A man's own folly, Proverbs 19, verse 3, ruins his life. And in Proverbs 5, verse 23, Proverbs 5, 23, it says, the fool will die without instruction. Because he wouldn't listen. The fool will die without instruction. As we say here, this night, fool, this night, today, right now, your soul will be required of you. You know, in reality, all of us will die someday. And in reality, all of us will have to give an accounting for our soul. All of us are responsible for this requirement. Our soul will be required of each and every one of us. We will give an account. God gave you and me our souls. Can we be trusted with them? Have we used the soul that God has given us wisely, faithfully, to serve Him, to obey Him, to follow Him, to live the life that Jesus would have us to live as a Christian by obeying the gospel. Are we responsible with our soul? You may notice the song that we're about to sing. I didn't ask Carol to lead this song, but I noticed when the number was on the board and I turned to it, how very appropriate it is for the conclusion of this lesson. Prepare to meet thy God. And if you'll notice even further in that song, verse 2 warns against spending a life of folly. Our souls, some night, some day, sometime, will be required of us. What then will we give God? If you are in need of responding to the invitation of Christ because you've been a fool long enough and it's time to wise up, would you come this morning as we stand and we sing?